Well, this morning's message, it's not going to be a long message, and I'm going to allow some time at the end for us to have a little bit of interactive sharing, but it's simply called God's Blessing. And we're that Sunday, we're past Christmas, but we haven't come into the new year, and so we're kind of in that stage where we're kind of looking around, and it's interesting after, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but after Christmas morning, after all the presents have been opened, if you're at a present opening Christmas kind of morning, and then there's all the stuff, and then, and you kind of gather your little piles, and the tree is empty of stuff under it. There's one or two presents that you haven't given to somebody that wasn't there. You have to travel. It's kind of that sort of, everything's all kind of over the place. And you're kind of like, okay, is this it? And you start to gather yourself together and say, okay, what do we do now? And, of course, there's lots to do. We had a breakfast with the boys and our daughter-in-laws, and then we went out to Pam's mom and dad's on Christmas Day later and had a dinner there. We visited. We had lots of fun, but sometimes we're just kind of in that in-between stage between the two. You finished one thing that you've built up to and built up to and built up to, and now you're starting something new. And so as we're looking at today, let's take a bit of time to kind of look back at the year that has gone by and then look forward to the year that we have before us. And before we do that in a more intentional manner, I want us to look at Psalm 37. Verse 25. I want to open with that. Psalm 37, verse 25. This was a psalm written by David, and he wrote this in his old age. He was towards the end of his days when he wrote several psalms, actually, and this was one of them. And I imagine he's an older man, a king, and things have kind of settled a little bit in his life. He's around the castle. He's got some time on his hands. He writes a few psalms. But these psalms, particularly this one, it almost reads, if you read the whole psalm, it reads like almost like Proverbs, because it's not really a song that has a flow to it that some of the other psalms do, where there's prayers to God and pleas and answers and blessings. You know, there's a certain flow to certain psalms. But it's more like David just downloading some of the wisdom that he's gained over the years. And so if you found that now, or if it's up on the screen, you can read it from there. Reading from the NIV, David writes in verse 25 of Psalm 37, I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. And we should never doubt the truthfulness of David's statement. In his experience, this is what he saw. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed or their children begging bread. And I know sometimes we speak from our life experience, and others, writing on this have commented that David, this was an observation that he was writing about. Others, including myself, would probably observe it as a rule with occasional exceptions. There are times when people who are people that are known as Christians, have called on God and asked him for salvation, and they have gone through very difficult times. And there's lots of different scenarios that could bring that about. And it depends, too, on how you define or how inclusive you are of who's included in the righteous. During the Depression years, Pam's grandfather, Grandpa Cross, Burl Cross, he said he saw Christians in the soup lines, but he said never one that paid their tithes. And so there is certainly other things that could possibly be involved there. Sometimes people just are terrible at looking to the future and managing their resources, and they go through very lean times that they possibly could have avoided. And not to throw any judgment on that. It's just that, you know, there are other things at work. We can't make this a rule that, okay, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread, which means we can blow it all and who cares? There'll be lots more where that came from. There are times when we have to be good stewards of what God has given us. And if we want to even have an understanding of what David was making as a reference to what he would say is the righteous, look at the next verse, verse 26. He said, they are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. The righteous that David at least speaks of are a generous group of people, generous to God and to others. Never a one that paid their tithes was found wanting. And God blessed them and he blessed their children. I want to cross-reference that with a verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews 6 and 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. God's not going to forget the things that we do when we are generous to others. That is the verse from which they draw the idea, at least, God is no man's debtor. And we don't just stumble, you know, onto the blessings of God like a lucky pull on a slot machine. I wish it was like that in one sense, but not really, because nobody ever wins at the slot machine. So we would all be in pretty poor shape if we were depending on that, you know, 3-7s or whatever it is that they use as their payout thing. It is by intent that we serve God and are generous to God and to others and receive God's blessing. Though God wants us to prosper, he is particular about how we prosper and how our prosperity should affect us. The righteous do not prosper by being stingy. And I have run across Christian people, people calling themselves Christian, who have a lot of money, but they are not generous. And I think there's something wrong with that picture. They've been gathering it to themselves, terrified that if they let a penny slip away from them, that there would not be enough for them. And I wonder about that, because David talks about a people that prosper and are cared for by God that are generous and lend to others and give to others if necessary when they're in trouble. We prosper in God's economy by being generous. Whether it's the widow's mite or the king's gold. And that depends on our situation. There's times when we would dearly love to do more. Terry would love to give that SUV that he doesn't have. But he doesn't have one. Sometimes that is part of the sort of the test of our own generosity, our own spirit, is what do we do with what we have, not with what we don't have. Kind of like the man who went to his pastor and said, Pastor, if I had $1 million, I would give you lots of support for this church. It would never see a day of want. And I give 10% or even 20%. And he said, what about a pig? He says, well, you're messing with me now. He says, you know I got a pig. it's about what we have that God wants us to be generous with. Let's back up a couple of verses to Psalm 37 and verse 23. This is the preface to this one that we started with. I was young and now I'm old and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. When I'm talking about we do this by intent, is not just our own intent. It's not like I can do certain things and expect that God's blessing will be there because I did the magic formula. That's not the whole picture. Verse 23, it says in the NIV, it says, "The Lord delights in the way of a man whose steps he has made firm." Does anybody know the King James wording for that? The steps of a righteous man, or the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord. We say often righteous man, but King James is actually a steps of a good man. But good, righteous are interchangeable in this context. So, God is leading us. If God is leading us, if we have the mind of Christ, generosity will be second nature. In the best sense. Now, David wrote all of this looking back. You know, it's kind of with that kind of sense of, I'm looking back. I was young, and now I'm old, and this is what I've observed. I'm looking back over the years. It was in his later years, but it was also in his later years when he wrote the 23rd Psalm, which begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And most of you can quote the rest of that or quote parts of it. It's interesting, Pam. Sometimes she's nervous to go on quoting big portions of Scripture. She probably could, but you know, you get that kind of like, I'm not sure about this. But then again, I tried to quote words to familiar Christmas hymns when I was at the nursing home. And boy, I didn't do so good either. What I want to point out here is David did not write, "The Lord was my shepherd." It's not just that this is, we're looking back and we're looking at the past and the history. We're looking, if we're looking through the eyes of David, he's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was my shepherd, but he is my shepherd. He's talking about an ongoing thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He meets the needs, whatever those needs are. He blesses. I loved Tommy Barnett speaking on this, put that verse in a little different wording, and without sharing the whole context of his message at that on that point, but I love the way he said it. He said, it's like David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all that I want." Because that's enough. If he doesn't give me the SUV, if he doesn't give me the retirement fund that helps me to retire comfortably, if I have to struggle a bit here or there, if he doesn't heal all my diseases at the appropriate times when I tell him he should, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all that I want. The rest of it is blessing, it's peripheral, it's on top of. How many people, if you had the choice between the presents you got this year, think about the gifts you got this year, or the family that you had around you, would choose the gift over the family? If it's the family, don't raise your hands. We don't want to kind of let that out of the bag. But you know what I'm saying? The Lord is my shepherd. Having him there is enough. God wants us to prosper. And at times that is prosperity in tangible ways, in financial ways. But that is not why we serve him and not why we love him. And I've heard too many accounts of wealthy families who gave their children everything, but the kids grow to resent their parents and their siblings. And so the giving of gifts and prosperity in tangible, financial, and other ways is not enough. It should be an added on to kind of blessing, not a this is what I'm looking for kind of blessing. Because it's not enough. In fact, it can have the opposite effect. It can get us so that we are just expecting more and more and more. And if that's the case, next year when we draw names, I'm going to fix the draw and I'm going to up the ante so that we have a $1,000 limit and the person that will really spend the $1,000 gets my name. You know, I'm not going to do that. But you know what I'm saying. It's not about that. prosperity, true prosperity in the context of the godly biblical sense, which issues from the blessings of God, includes the physical provision, but is not limited to the physical provision. It also includes knowing that God is with us, knowing that He loves us, knowing that He cares for us, knowing that He protects us, that He has a future for us, both here and in the life to come, especially in the life to come, where if there are reasons for things to happen in this life because we are part of a bigger plan that includes calamity coming on a group of people, that even in the midst of that, God will make up for any shortfall or seeming shortfall. And there's so much more. At the beginning of last year, Pam and I had a prophetic word, a prophetic sense. It came in more than one way. But the word was that God was going to make this a year of blessing and a year of increase. And I'll tell a little bit about what God did in my own life. And then in a bit, I'm going to have others share just what has God done in the past year. And you can be kind of thinking about this. Ways in which God has blessed you in this past year. Large or small, doesn't have to be this huge, overwhelming, maybe you were only at the penny slot and somebody else was at the $5 slot. I don't know. And trust me, I've never pulled a slot machine handle in my life. So if this is going out into the bigger world, it's not about that. It's about knowing that God blesses us in so many ways. But at the beginning of the year, if I look back now, I had just graduated from university. We were broke, but I had my piece of paper. And didn't know what that was going to mean. I had signed on at the beginning of the year, shortly after the new year, I signed on to do 6 months of free work for the family health team to sort of increase my skills as well as to give back to them because they were generous to give me a place to do my internship, which they didn't have to do, but it saved us a lot of agony and not having to travel to the city to do that. And so we started off with same amount of income and doing some more free work, but with this word that God was going to bring increase. And halfway through the year, at the end of June, I put my name in for a job that had not existed before that time. A couple of weeks later, actually a week later, got the call for the interviews, and by the middle of July was being asked, when can you start? Was offered a full-time job at hospice at a very good rate of pay and all the benefits and things thereof. And to me, that was God's blessing. It was like God had been planning all along, and even down to the very courses I took, even the last course I took, which was focusing on counseling to people that were grieving and death and dying and all that whole area. And I'm thinking I've probably done enough of that stuff between the pastoral work, the work at the nursing home, the work at the hospital. Why do I need more specific training on how to help people that are going through the death and dying process? But it was the only course available, because the other course that I intended to take was full, and it was the one that gave me all of the prerequisites to finish out my resume for this job at hospice, because they wanted somebody with some training in grief and grief counseling. They wanted somebody with pastoral experience, with palliative experience, which I had, particularly at the nursing home, and it was a perfect fit. And there were people that came from the Toronto area and all around to apply for that job, because counseling jobs are not plentiful. There was no expectation really on my part that a job like that would even exist in Lindsay. And I wasn't going to leave the church and go move to the city and scrabble around for the few jobs that are down there, because there's hundreds of people every year going through this training, the same training that I took, just like every other area, and they're not getting jobs. I've talked to other students that have come through Tyndale. Some of them are making a living in some ways, but it was just like God's blessing was all over that. And even the people I work with are wonderful people. I've had an opportunity already in this year, as I've been working there, to minister in many different ways as the and not just as a counselor, but as a pastor, as a minister, into people's lives. And so that was a tremendous turnaround of things for us. And I don't want to take a long time with that, but there's a lot of repercussions, a lot of ripple effect from that. And so in a very physical, tangible way, God blessed. Because I had to go work for the blessing. Still had to put the extra 40 hours in. But it was good compensation for that. And so that's what somebody had said when I was going through the schooling. They said, oh, you'll make all that back in the first year that you work in this industry. And I talked to other people. They said they were many years before they got full-time work in counseling. And so even the people at the family health team said, wow, they were so happy for me. It's like, that's amazing. So God blessed. And as I look to the coming year, I'm looking for other ways in which God will continue to bless. That's kind of like the first fruits, if you want to call it that, because I'm expecting God to do some tremendous things in the coming year. Going into 2016, God is telling us to look for his provision and blessing to continue, but also more in the supernatural area. Healings, protection, restoration of relationships, outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, things where God is going to be moving in ways that are not just tangible provision of our needs. And so I'm going to leave it at that point. And I've given you a bit of a heads up, but I want you to take a few minutes, if you could, and just talk about two things. One, tell the group here, if God has blessed you in some way this year, how God brought extra blessing into your life, and then what you're looking for in the coming year. Like, what are you believing for? And ask big. Ask for the SUV. Ask big. So I'll just open it up. Whoever wants to go.
My blessing wasn't in a form of a financial, but God blessed me physically. I went from being so crippled to almost back to normal. And that's like asking God for the impossible, because fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue don't normally just go away. And I talk to people who suffer with that, and they've had it for years, and they're still suffering and suffering and suffering. And I say, thank you, Lord. You sent me to a man, a Christian man, who prayed about how to treat me and treated me properly. And I give God all the glory for that. Amen. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was this men's Bible study that I wasn't really all on board for. Because I have to do all the work, right? I have to clean the house. I have to make the coffee, you know. And then I sit in the back room while the men enjoy their time together, you know. So I wasn't really all that enthusiastic. But you know what? I'm seeing God do some wonderful things. And at our breakfast, two of the men that come to the Bible study came to the breakfast. And there's people there that they're not saved, and they don't know that much about the Lord, and they're learning, and they're being prayed for, and they're, you know, so now I thank you, Lord, you know, and I forgive me, Lord, for not being on such real enthusiastic at first, but you know, I can see God doing wonderful things. And so you say, ask God for the impossible. How about you know, that this Bible study for these men grows and prospers and starts being in more homes and just spreads like a fire. That's my prayer, that there's more and more men that get saved, because men need to take leadership roles spiritually in their homes. And this is a wonderful opportunity for the men to do that. And so I don't know. How about that God just, like, I'm looking for spiritual blessings more than financial. I'll take the financial. You know, I'll move up to the quarter slot, you know. But really, my prayer this year is that God's people would be so filled with the Holy Spirit, with power, and that when we talk to people, when we pray with people, that lives are miraculously changed. That's what I'm looking for this year.
Brian was definitely right when he said the beginning of this year we were flat broke, and I had to say to him, and God was saying, I want to remove you from the jobs you do already. And I'm going, Brian, this is going to get really tough. But I said, he's also told us other times to step away. And he's, you know, it's kind of like when you step out of the boat, your foot stays on top of the water instead of going under. But one of the things that happened was that Brian and I had already decided, we had put our lives on hold for several years at that point. We as a couple had not done anything. And we, although our marriage is good, we have a strong marriage no matter what, you still have to have that couple time. And so Brian had said, it was near the end of last year, he said, you know what, Pam, I don't care if we have to borrow the money, and I don't know where the money's going to come from afterwards if you're stepping away from all this, but we need to go away. And we were going to visit Brian's sister Sue down in Florida, you know, so there's at least some free accommodations, but no matter what, it costs money to go down. And so he says, no, I'm going to book tickets, and you know, we're going to go on a 5-day cruise while we're down there, because that's the way to do it, you know, because you're already down there. And the day he decided, he booked the cruise, somebody showed up at our door that we had helped for a long time, an older person who did not have a lot of money. And she said, I planned on giving you this in my will. And she said, but a friend of mine said, maybe you better give it to them now because your kids might not give it to them. And so she handed over, and there was $1,000. And then about less than a week later, Brian had loaned some people some money, being generous, knowing the fact we may never get it back. And it was the down payment for the car that we'd worked so hard to try to get. But we said, no, he who lendeth to the poor lendeth to God, and we knew that it was needed. When the person wrote the check to give back, there was an extra $1,000 on it. And Brian said, you overwrote this check by $1,000. He said, no. What you did for us, well, we can't begin to repay this back. And so there was $2,000 given to us in less than a week, and each of them said, I hope you blow it. And we said, well, we're going to blow it. And it cost basically exactly for the two plane tickets to go down there and the cruise, $2,000. So it was just so awesome. And when we went down there, because we'd been given Christmas money by the church and, you know, a few little different things that we were able to gather. When we went down there, it was like we had this mitt full of money. And Sue and Dave were embarrassed because we were given the money, right? It's like, no, we're sharing it. Like, this is awesome. It was like having the big slot machine at that point, because you can't enjoy a vacation very well if you're having to see whether or not you can afford to go out for coffee. So I felt very blessed. But the other thing that was interesting, I still take piano lessons. I started when Luke went off to university. And it's not cheap, but I just felt like God had said, I really want you to increase your abilities here. And so I went to a Christian piano teacher. And I just said, you know, can I do this? And it's fine. So God has provided in different ways, even when Brian was going to school. And as I said, it's not an inexpensive hobby, but I believe it's more than a hobby. It's what God's asking me to do. And so this spring, she says, are you going to come back in the fall? And I said, I'd like to. I said, I have to be honest, so I'm not sure if I'm going to have the money. But I said, but I am going to say yes, and you and I are going to believe that God's going to provide the money for this. And so in the fall, you can write a monthly check, you can write whatever. And she gave me the amount because I'd been faithfully trying to save between working at the store that I work at and Brian's, transition of income. I took a little bit out each paycheck to try to pay for it. Anyway, make a long story short, when she gave me the bill, because it's over a semester and you can break it down, as I said, every month, I just wrote the whole check. And she said to me afterwards, she said, "My husband says, how's Pam going to pay for this?" And she says, "Nope, Pam's believing and we're going to believe for her too." So she told me the next week, she said, "Pam, you have no idea how that helped us out." Because she said, "You can tell the economy's bad," because she said, "Even the doctors and lawyers are only writing a monthly check instead of at the whole time." She said, "You were the only one that wrote the whole semester and we desperately need the money." And I said, "Well, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He blessed me to bless you." So there were a lot of things. Probably the thing, though, I'm looking forward, I really have had, and as said, I can be a false prophet this next year. That's okay. But I believe in my heart, because God did definitely say, expect the impossible. That I believe that we are going to see more healings. And the impossible. And I do believe the physical, but I'm believing because emotional can actually be way more messy. Marital situations, I don't know. People who are absolutely atheists, that they will have an encounter with God that will change. And they cannot deny that he's real. So that is my feeling, that there's going to be a dramatic shift. And things that I have been waiting all my life to see, that there's going to be some of that happening. And I think it's going to energize the people here.
God's been very, very generous to Luke and I this year, financially and otherwise. We both had scholarship a little bit coming out of the previous school year. And then last year I applied for like a really big scholarship. It's like the Ontario, it's like the one of the highest like provincial level ones. And there's not that many awards that are given out, and you're competing with the whole university for like 170 awards. Usually only one or two people a year get it within the School of Architecture, and I was one of them. It was $15,000, which is amazing. More than I was really expecting. It was just incredible. And then I found out about a month. Oh, and then I got a job that I really, really wanted, which was great. Didn't pay that well, but I didn't really care. And then my professor found a way so that I get paid even more by doing a combination research grant with the university and with the partner. So that worked out all right. And then my professor got like a huge grant, like $1.6 million to develop a training program in conservation and sustainability of architecture, which is my specialty and something I'm very passionate about, that I think God has placed that passion there. As part of that training program, he had to choose 6 students out of like the whole university. And there were 2 spots reserved for architecture students, and he picked me to be in his training program. So this program is kind of like, I have to do my regular requirements for my degree, and then I have extra homework, I have an extra class, and I have extra workshops and activities and stuff, but I also get like job connections with like some of the top places in the whole world, including federal government, which is actively seeking to hire people with this specialty, UNESCO World Heritage, like their Bangkok, Thailand headquarters, like all these places all over the world and in Ottawa. And it's amazing just to have those connections. And on top of that, being in this training program pays me like $27,000 per year. And I was like, I just, that was definitely God's blessing. Like, there's no way that it came from anyone else. Like, it's just, like, it's more than I can ever, I ever could have asked for. And Luke has also received a lot of, well, he can talk about that, but, yeah, like, it's just, like, financially, like, God has blessed us beyond anything we could ever imagine. And, as a lot of you probably know, if, not, last year I did not enjoy school at all. It was just a bit of depression with my mom passing away, and, just, I don't know, just, like, the teachers and the stuff we were learning, like, it wasn't really as inspiring, and it just, I didn't want to do it anymore, and I still don't really want, I want to do my professor's training program, but I don't want to do, like, all the other regular stuff. I just didn't really want to do it. But this fall, I got a really exciting project for the term, and it was a church project. It was a monastery in Ottawa, and they were looking to expand their library, and so we had to design a project for that. And that was really interesting that God gave me a project where I can explore Christianity and share God's word to my classmates through the project, which was really cool. And it's like, so part of my funding for my summer job also covered a conference in during midterms, and then I had also submitted a paper at another conference, which was at the same time. So essentially, I missed like 2 weeks of school around midterms, including my midterm presentation, and which is kind of a big deal. And it was kind of nerve-wracking because it's like you really don't want to miss school in university, because if you miss like a class, like you're behind like a week. So I missed like 4 studio classes and like a week and a half of school. It was really bad. But I felt like God wanted me to go to these conferences, so I did. And I didn't know how I was going to even get through this semester because, like, the workload was just so high and I was so far behind. But I could feel him giving me inspiration, like, the whole way through. And it was just, like, all these ideas, like, just popped into my mind. And they're, like, really good ideas. And I'm like, that's not my idea. And it was just... no, well, no. There's just, but it was like there were so many of them, and it was just like, and like even down to like the concept of just like theological like illumination and just like kind of being a light to the community, like that was, and then like I read a scripture verse in my final presentation, and it's like, who gets to, like, only God could have given that opportunity. And it's just, he lifted me up the whole way through. And even with computer issues, my computer corrupted some of my files. I kept having to redo work in the last, like, 2 weeks of panic. And then it's like, okay, so I had a few days to, like, make this big poster 8 feet by 8 feet of, like, all the work that I did, and I had to, like, showcase, like, all these beautiful images, and it was, like, all my stuff kept crashing, and I was just at a point where I was, like, okay, I'm just, you know, I try to do it on my own strength, and then it doesn't matter how hard I try to do anything on my own strength, it just doesn't work, and then it's just, like, a plea of desperation, I'm like, okay, God, I need another miracle, I just need to meet this deadline, and, like, I didn't even know if I was going to pass the course at that point, and shared some of my frustrations on Facebook, and my stepdad comes up and he's like, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, he doesn't pray. So that was pretty cool. And it was just like, everything has just been a year of blessing in so many ways. And I'm very grateful. And for the coming year, I'm just praying for more inspiration to get through the next 6 months of homework that I really don't want to do, and then the rest will all be really good. But I really pray for my friends and my family that they would come to know the Lord, because I have a lot of friends and family who really don't know Jesus, and some who who have, and then they chose to go a different path. So I just really pray that God works in those situations.
Won't repeat too much of what Carly's already said about the financial stuff, but that's definitely been, it's been a surprise. But I think that also there've been a lot of opportunities. Carly's mentioned some of the opportunities that she had, but I feel like that's been a huge blessing this year. It's just been like, I mean, looking back over my university career so far, when I was in second year, I mean, by the end of second year, I didn't even think I was going to finish university, or I wasn't sure. And then in my last year, I got pretty much straight A's, and came out with some good references, and I was able to connect with another professor at the university on the other side of town, and you know, things just sort of worked out that way. And then next thing I knew, I was in a graduate program. And also that we're sort of in a comfortable financial position. I was able to sort of just decompress over the summer and relax. And that was I really felt like I needed that. And yeah, I mean, it's... the opportunity has been really great, not only just being in a graduate program and being in a lab, but it's a really good lab. They're really friendly. They very smart and very just efficient. And, you know, all these things are good. You know, that there's a lot there to learn. It's also very intimidating though, because, you know, you find that, when you meet someone who's like way, way smarter than you, and you know, they're way smarter than you, it's just, you feel like you don't have a lot to contribute. And you know, even when you do contribute or feel like you've had this really brilliant idea and you bring it forward, they're like, oh yeah, we did that a few years ago. And it's sort of like, oh, okay. Well, or we tried that a few years ago. It didn't work. But, no, it's been great to have been given such an amazing opportunity, and that I feel like this year has been a year of opportunity. That's sort of the opportunistic blessing, but I feel that what I need now is a intellectual blessing. It's just, and I know that's a lot of that has to be just sort of hitting the books, but you know. I mean, it's a lot of energy and effort, and there's still a lot of other time that has to be dedicated to other things, and I guess that's what I feel is needed now to capitalize on the opportunity. And you know, it's just there isn't a lot of talk of God in university, especially when you get into the more the upper echelons, and well, at least not in a cynical way, maybe, but not in a genuine sense. And I think that I need to be able to on a purely on a work level, be able to look, you know, my peer straight in the eye, so that, like, I don't feel like I'm a very good witness if I'm not even able to, you know, keep up. So that's, yeah, that's why I feel that that's needed at this, for this coming year.
Well, probably all of you know that I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis 4 years ago, and I was put on prednisone to get it under control, and then a drug called methotrexate to continue looking after the symptoms, because rheumatoid arthritis is not curable, or not yet anyways. And a lot of people that I've shared that with have said, well, it must have been like a misdiagnosis. You had something else, and even though I gave God the credit for healing, I counter what they say, and even if that is true, okay, perhaps I did have something else, and God healed me from it. But I was still taking all these drugs that do not add years to your life. They add life to your years. They really shorten your life because they're very, very hard on your organs. Well, it was about this time last year that I got the call from my specialist in Peterborough to say, stop taking all your drugs because... your last blood test, which you had to have every 6 to 8 weeks when you're on these drugs, I had a liver function spike. So I could have taken these drugs for years and years and years thinking that they were working. You see?
Either way,
it's a miracle. And I praise God and thank God. I'm so grateful to Him for that.
I think a lot of you know what I'm going to say. For the past year, I've been working at a place called, I won't say because we're recording. Anyways, I've been working in a factory and doing extremely boring factory work. And it has actually been ruining my hand, and it's like minimum wage, and it's just been really kind of a very struggling year. I have been struggling financially and emotionally and mentally. And I asked for a prayer for work and financial situation, and I don't know, what was it? A week or so later, someone in this church, Dale, mentioned that she was going to be retiring and that her position would be coming open, and she had me, asked me to take in a resume, and I had an interview, and I got hired, and it's actually much more in my field and my skill set, and it pays what I make at time and a half at my regular job. So yeah, I've been very blessed that way, and it's actually really more towards next year that that's going to happen, because that's when I started is next year. So, but I can look forward, and I'm really just looking forward next year to God fulfilling promises, because I think he's starting to work like that for me. So.
You'll have to excuse my voice this morning. A few of the things I've seen happen the last year, we were praying with my sister for her thyroid cancer, and she has, there's nothing left. The doctors have basically said they're not really worried about anything. She has to be on medication for the hormones for the rest of her life, but that's not the end of the world for sure. So praise God for that. Also for the youth group that Dan's been leading. Or a year ago, September, he had two kids. They were the pastor's kids, so that was pretty much it. And come this year, a year later, he's got like between 15 and 20 kids every week, which is amazing. And what's been a really big struggle is that he can't, and I hope you don't mind me speaking for you, Dan. he kept feeling like God was telling him, you know, he kept feeling like, well, I should, you know, I need to start a Bible study. I need to start, you know, feeding into these kids. And God gets telling him, just wait, because these kids have no real concept of who God is or what Christianity is or anything. And even some of them, unfortunately, and I'm not doing this to rag on the previous youth pastor, but he was definitely feeding them some very interesting ideas, which were not helpful at all. But he's starting to see them start asking questions of their own accord. They have started to do a very quick just discussion based on Teen Alpha videos, and they're starting to ask their own questions, which is amazing. So praise God for that, and we're expecting that in the next year we're going to see an amazing growth in these kids, an amazing passion for God. I mean, there's been so many financial blessings upon Dan and I, it's kind of ridiculous. And that's not to say, like, we feel like we have money all the time, but it's just every time we've needed and sometimes just wanted something, it's just kind of, it's not that we haven't had to seek it out or work for it, but it's just appeared in kind of amazing ways. I guess my biggest hope for next year, which is pretty impossible, my cousin Amber, I mentioned her before, her and her husband, they've been approved kind of to adopt a baby from Thailand. And they were told last January that it would take 3 years. But they found out just before Christmas, or sorry, in November, just before I saw her, that 3 years doesn't even start until this January, until they get this certain paperwork done. So when they thought they had a whole year under their belts, they're looking at starting all over. So I am praying that God will bring them a child this year, because they are amazing people and would make incredible parents. And she has waited so long already. So I'm trusting that something major will happen there this year.
I feel very sensitive right now because I've only got my top teeth in, and I'm saying, Lord, no, no, I don't want to go up, Lord, no, no. And I've been fighting them over there all through this. But the reason I only have my top in this morning is I eat too much sweets over the Christmas season, and I got a canker sore on the bottom, and I can't wear them. So I'm only talking with my top teeth. And I thought, Lord, you really humbled me with these losing my teeth and having to wear false teeth. How much more can you humble me with this? Now you want me to do a testimony with just half my teeth. So anyways, he's one, and I'm here. But I think he just wanted me to tell you that God has been so good. And I needed the humbling that he took me through more than I even knew. I didn't mean to get emotional here. If I'd known this, I definitely wouldn't have come. But anyways, God has done so much in my life. When I first lost my teeth, it just felt like I lost everything. I'd worked for years to be a minister of the gospel, and all that fell. Everything. I lost everything, it felt like. And I thought, I didn't really want to be a minister. God took me to Bible college. I didn't know why in the world he'd call me. I was just a woman. I didn't want to go to Bible college. But I went in obedience to him. And he took me through so many areas of ministry that I could go on for hours telling the miracles he did through little old me, who was a nobody and a nothing. So don't put yourself down, dear. Don't think you're nobody and nothing. You're a somebody in Jesus, and he wants you to know that. And he had to show me that. Because I used to say, but God, I'm just a woman. I'm just a woman. He said, you are not just a woman. And you're not just an ordinary Christian. You're a dynamic man of God, and you're going to see great things in your life. I sensed it when I was sitting there. God's going to use you mightily. So don't you look down on yourself. He's got a powerful work for you. And he reminded me he's got a powerful work for me to do too. And I thought, God, how can I now? How can I now? He said, you wait and see. This year alone, I got so down over my teeth. And I hesitate to tell you this because you might think I'm awful. I literally considered suicide. I was so depressed. I was so down, like I have never experienced in my life. I never knew how bad it could be for anybody to get so depressed. And I never understood that kind of depression. And God has picked me up out of that muck, that lie from the pit. He's picked me up, and he brought me here because he says, I want you to be with my children who care. They're not high mucky mucks, but they're my people, and I love them, and they love me, and they're real. And I want you to be with these people who are real, because we are going to do great exploits together here. And I have sensed for the last year, even though I've had this struggle, my own depression and my own trouble with these teeth and everything, I have sensed God wants to do a great thing in this church. And I said to God, I said, you know, Lord, you told me years ago you'd called me to be a part of the great revival, the greatest revival that ever hit Canada. You said it was going to happen, and I was going to be a part of it. And now here I am. How can I be a part of this? And when everything looks the most impossible, and that's what God had to do, I was depending too much on self. And you young people, you were trying to depend on yourself. And I just feel God wants me to speak into your life. You're not going to have to depend on yourself no more than I have to, no more than any of us have to, because it's not going to be flesh that brings this revival. It's going to be the Spirit of the living God. He is going to sweep over us. He is going to do an amazing job. Everything has been trying to pull me out of this church. My own husband has said, oh, if you will go to the Baptist church next door with me, I'll go with you. I thought, oh, that's a temptation. I wanted to get my husband back to church so badly. I thought, oh, is that what I have to do, Lord? Obey my husband and go there and get him back to church? And God was speaking to me there. That's a lie from the pit. Devil doesn't want him to go to church. The devil wants to get you out of this one. And so that's the method he's using. So I know in my heart of hearts that if I left here and went to the Baptist church next door to where we live now with my husband, that he would maybe go sometimes, but then he'd drop off. And then there I am. I've left my faithful church where God called me for that, okay? So I know that this is not God's will. I know it in my heart of hearts, it's not. That God wants me to stay here. And I don't know how he's going to use this weak, battered failure of a person here. But it's not going to be up to me, and it's not going to be up to you. God has got amazing plans for us. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but he sold our house this year so that I didn't have all that responsibility and work. He moved us into an apartment. I have a little community to witness to right within. I'm right in amongst them all. And I'm saying, God, how can I go out and talk to them? You know, I'm just talking like this, you know. But, you know, he's got it all arranged. I know, the devil he's just doing a number on me, I know. But I've got it all arranged. In the spring, I'm going to get the pins put in to hold the teeth so they don't move around so much. But anyways, make a long story short, I'm believing this year for not only God to get my teeth anchored so that I can talk, but I'm believing for God to do an amazing work in this church and among this people. And it's going to spread, and it's going to mushroom. And I believe it's going to snowball out to all the other churches. I don't want to be a false prophet, but this is what I've been feeling in my heart of hearts, that God wants to do. And God always takes the what people would call the foolish or the small or the insignificant. And we all feel that way about ourselves. We all feel we're small, insignificant, we're nothing. I certainly do. But God, that's the kind of people God wants to use. And we are perfect candidates because we are not able to do it in our flesh. And we know it. And that's the best part. So, be expecting this year and believe with me for God's greatest revival to begin in our hearts and to spread. I believe it. He promised this to me 35 years ago. And I said, God, I'm still waiting. He said, you don't have to wait long. So we're on the fringes. We're on the edge. And I can't believe I'm up here talking with half of my teeth. But praise God, he's in control.
That and that witnesses with what I feel God is telling us, is to expect the unexpected, to believe that God has a bigger plan, and not just a plan for a handful of people here, but he has a plan for everybody. And if he would grace us with the privilege of being a catalyst for that. I thought about, I think it was Tracy Stewart talking about how the people of Israel were in such desperate need, everybody was starving. And they were being sieged by the Assyrian army, and they prayed and they believed for God's provision and deliverance. And where did it come from? Three lepers, starved, their health so bad, they're like kind of walking with pieces of their body missing, and they stagger back to the city and say, not only is the enemy gone, but there's provision for everybody. And that was God's mighty army. Three decrepit lepers. So I think he's good with that. You're definitely a step up on that. So, and we all are. God bless. Okay, are we good to close in prayer? Lou, did you have any words of? I'll let you close in prayer, and if you want to include in that a blessing for the coming year.